In life, oftentimes we encounter experiences that we could not anticipate. We don't know how to describe them until we experience them. And yet they have defining potential in our lives, because as we go through them, we learn something, we glean something that changes the way we look at life. This past week, on Monday, I had the privilege of being in a prison for juveniles in Romania. Walking into that prison and surrendering your passport and realizing you're walking into a place where it's governed by guards, your first thought is, what will we see, what will we encounter as we meet these kids who are in this prison? Well, as you walk into the main building where the kids are studying God's Word, all you hear are the children who are playing soccer. Because on one side there's an indoor soccer facility, on the other side there's a room where they gather to sing praise and worship. As we walk in the room, 35 young men stood up in a prison of 80 juveniles, all of them in prison for stealing things or doing other crimes. Half of the people who were in that prison made the choice to become overcomers in their life by studying God's Word, by singing praise to Him versus playing soccer. We walk in the room, they all stood up in recognition of our presence there, and then they began to share their story. And their story, as the leader of that group was sharing, was that they would come together out of the 2 hours they have of free time on Monday and Friday. One of those hours would be dedicated to studying God's Word and singing praise to Him. I wish you could hear 35 young teenagers who are imprisoned behind walls who are singing at the cross, at the cross. And they began to sing other songs. And as they began to share, my first thing I noticed was they didn't need the words, even though they're on the screen. They knew all the words by heart of every song they sang. And then the director said the most powerful statement. He said, "We come together not to validate their religion, but to offer them the hope that rests in Jesus." Well, as he said that, I thought, that's the story of an overcomer who doesn't allow their religion to define them, but instead allows their personal encounter with Christ to define them. And then they began to quote Scripture. And I want to just say to you, I wish you could have witnessed this experience. They began to quote, and the translator was translating for me. And so I started writing down the verses. First, they quoted Psalm 1. Then they quoted Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Then they quoted John 14:6, Ecclesiastes 11:9, Jeremiah 29:11 through 13, Romans 1:16 and 17, John 3:16, Psalm 23, Philippians 2:12 through 15, all by memory. Young kids in prison for doing the wrong thing, memorizing the right thing. And as I stood there, here's what I kept thinking. You don't have to be behind a wall to be in prison. You can be in prison to your fear. You can be in prison to your circumstances. You can be in prison to the way you look at life, your perspective. And the only way you overcome that is to allow the Lord Jesus to become everything to you. And so today we look at what it means to be an overcomer. I couldn't lose this card for anything, because on this card are all those verses. And one of the songs they sang that stood out to me was the song that had these words in it. You will never, ever leave us. You will never, ever forsake us. Can you imagine that? And see, today as we look at our own lives, we realize very quickly that if we're not careful, we'll allow some circumstance, some situation to get the very best of us. And what I want you to see today as we embark on this journey, and it is a journey that challenges us to understand what an overcomer is all about. And what I want you to see by way of principle, and I'm going to echo this through the next 10 weeks, is that an overcomer is one who, when they see grace intersect with truth, they begin to experience something that allows them to conquer anything. Grace that comes from God, truth revealed to their heart, they begin to move in a direction. And today I want to encourage you to think about whatever it is you're facing with a very clear awareness that whatever it is you are encountering, when you experience His grace to the degree that He intended, and you experience His truth to the degree that He intended, all of a sudden they intersect together. And instead of being defined by our problems, we'll be directed to our Savior. And as we are directed to our Savior, we'll begin to understand how life is supposed to work. And so today, Think about what things can get the best of you. And then stop and ask yourself, how can I live in such a way that things do not rob me of the very essence of life? Because the very essence of life is that we are overcomers through Christ. And today, as you imagine that for a second, I want you to realize that the important lesson out of our entire dialogue today, as I preached from God's Word, is that we understand that God has positioned us to experience victory, not defeat. And so my encouragement to you is to think about in your own life where he wants you to go, what it is he wants you to do. And today I will snapshot several experiences that came out of our last mission trip, because I want you to understand that when you meet children who've never been hugged by their mother or father, and yet they love Jesus with all their heart, they are overcomers. When you see tears in children's eyes, when you hear an orphan girl say, "Brother Gerald, I love you," something happens inside of you, because you realize they have not allowed their circumstances to define their future. And an overcomer is one who does not spend all their life looking backwards. An overcomer is one who looks forward to what it is that God intends to do in their life. And so I want to ask you a couple questions as we get ready to embark on this journey. The first one is this: can you identify an overcomer in your life? Can you identify somebody that you know that lives out what it is they believe, that lives out the truth of God's Word? Because the truth is, if we identify overcomers, then we can be able to take their particular experience and mesh it with our experience and realize, you know, we can all overcome. We can all experience what it is that God intends. And if you'll imagine for a second, if we all took a moment and identified that person, it'd be interesting. For some, we would be identifying a grandparent. Some would be identifying a parent. Some would identify a mentor. Some would identify a sibling, somebody who had amazing, overcoming faith. But everyone would identify somebody who gave them something that caused them to realize how life could work in an amazing way. And so we must identify those that overcome, and we also have to stop and think about what hinders us. And that's the second question I want to ask you today, is can you identify what it is that would hinder you or prevent you from living out a conquering life? Can you stop and say, what would get the best of me? What would take me away from experiencing God's victory and end up being defeated? Because the truth is, as we look at our encounters, we all have hindrances. We all have things. In fact, the Bible says the things that they easily beset us, they easily hold us back. They cause us difficulty and heartache. We all have restrictive points that kind of restrict what we're trying to do and where we're supposed to go. And yet, if you can identify them, you can conquer them. And that's exactly why we look at God's Word today in such a distinctive way. Obviously, when we think about overcomers, there are certain things that we think of. And as I think about overcomers, I began to do this study in the fall, getting ready for today. And as I began to look at it and look at God's Word and see those who were willing to overcome no matter what they were facing, distinctive qualities stood out. The first one had to do with a person being able to understand that we live by principles of faith. In other words, we don't live by the things that the world throws at us. We understand the principles of faith. And what does faith do? Faith allows us to see beyond what our eyes see to what it is we can trust God to do. That's why the Bible says that faith is we don't see it beyond what we see. Hebrews chapter 11. And so when a person is an overcomer, they understand the principle of faith, that I can trust him no matter what. I can yield to what it is he has in store for my life. And it's interesting, in one of the encounters we had with orphans, we had the privilege of looking at Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, that you don't lean on your own understandings, that you trust him with all of your heart. And it's interesting watching their eyes. One of the young men had been a real troublemaker during our different Bible studies that we've been offering in one of the orphanages. And somehow Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 broke through inside of him. He sought Charlie out. He sought me out. He said, you know, I want to tell you, that meant something to me. And what it amounted to was, all of a sudden, he was engaging in a principle of faith. Not only that, though, an overcomer will also be able to exhibit certain things about their life because they recognize the amazing opportunities of life. I mean, listen carefully. When you look at life the way God intends, you'll see it as an amazing opportunity. Oftentimes, when I see my friends on Facebook, they'll post pictures of their trips. And they'll describe their trips. You know, we went here, we did this, we did that. And it's always an amazing encounter wherever they are, whether at Disney World or whether they're somewhere else in the world. But every time I look at those pictures, I always want to write them and say, now, be sure to post one of the amazing opportunity of living your life every day. Because that's the most exciting part of life. is waking up in the morning and know that God has purpose for your life. Waking up in the morning and knowing that God has direction for your life. Waking up in the morning and knowing that the peace that passes understanding rests in your heart. That's what an overcomer is all about. They see the opportunity of life, and they don't allow it to steal anything to steal that joy. I want you to imagine what it would be like if every morning you woke up with a very clear awareness of what it is that God wanted to do. Many of you were familiar last Sunday. Sunday before last, I shared with you about the challenge in my eye and things that I'm encountering. It's exactly like it was when I left, and so I'm praising the Lord it's not any worse. But every morning in Romania, I'd wake up, and you know, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I'd wake up, and I'd open my eye and go, is it any better? You know, I'd have that feeling before I got out of bed to see if it improved, because I wanted to get up one morning and go, man, that thing, I can see everything and see very clearly. But the reality is, His timing is not my timing, and He has perfect timing, so I trust Him in that. And I certainly thank God that we didn't cancel that trip, and that we went on and preached the gospel, shared with people, encouraged pastors. Listen, in a span of 8 days, we hugged 120 orphans. We encouraged 125 pastors in Romania, 20 pastors in Serbia. We ministered to a bunch of different groups. We preached to 2,000 people on Sunday. We had the privilege of watching 5 people give their heart to Christ on Sunday night. We watched a lot of great things happen. We encouraged a lady who was facing cancer. All kinds of amazing stories, all of which are tied into looking at life with the amazing opportunity God had. And you and I need to be overcomers just like that in everything that we face. But also, overcomers have in their life, they do have challenges, but they face their challenges with convictions. They don't look at them as challenges that overcome them. They have the conviction that they will live out what it is God has for them. And I want to challenge you to think about what happens inside of our life when we do operate with those very clear, distinctive convictions. It's interesting, when on Sunday night we were preaching in the church there in Lugos that we preach in every year, have done for the last 10 years. And I was looking around, and I started noticing something. I started noticing how many people had come into a realization of a need for Christ while we had been in that church at different times through those years. In fact, one of them gave me a picture of her baptism that I baptized her in 2004. The only thing I didn't like about that picture was that I didn't have any gray hair then. And she looked at me in broken English and said, your hair was dark then. Now, thank you very much for the encouragement here, you know. But time does gray things at times. But it was still encouraging to look around that room and see different people that at one point were without Christ, and then they encountered what it is that God had for them. I want to ask you, when you think about your challenges, how strong are your convictions that you can overcome whatever it is coming at you? Because that's the key. That's a key to an overcomer, being able to look at, you know, say, I'm not going to let that get in the best of me. And you'll see that as we look at what Jesus said, because Jesus said it in one verse, the whole summation of us overcoming anything by using our convictions. Because what convictions do, convictions are based in God's word, not our opinion. And as we live out our convictions, something amazing happens inside of each one of our lives. There's a final thing that happens when a person is an overcomer and they begin to live out their life of faith and they begin to live out what God's word says, they'll live with a profound purpose for their life. And let me tell you, when you look at where people are at today, most people don't experience the overcoming life because they have no idea what it is they're supposed to be doing with their life. And if we don't understand what it is God wants to do with our life, if we don't have a profound purpose that we're able to say, you know what, this is what God made me to do, then we miss a lot of what life has for us. One day while I was in Romania, I woke up one morning early, 4 a.m., And when I woke up, my first thought was, it's 4 a.m. It wasn't a profound thought. It was a simple thought. But, you know, if you ever woke up and you realize you're not going back to sleep, you're awake. Well, I woke up and said, Lord, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to entrust to you. And I started praying. And this is what hit me. We all have a purpose in life. Sometimes it's to wake up in the middle of the night and bring to God things we would never think of during the day. I prayed for our church. I prayed for each one of you. I prayed for specific things that we were going to encounter that day. I prayed for different orphans that we had encountered that needed to be encouraged. I prayed for the experiences we would have. And you know, what I discovered was the more I prayed, the more blessed I felt. And you know what? I totally set aside 4 a.m. And the next time I looked up, it was 6:30. And I realized that during that span of time, I had been able to bring before the Lord things that I was encountering, things I was challenged by, what it was He wanted me to be able to preach on. And amazingly, when we arrived, this is how God works. We arrived in Serbia to encourage these pastors, very discouraged, very difficult, 30% unemployment. They're facing all kinds of challenges. Russia is bearing down on them, pushing them back towards communism. So the country is in disarray in some ways. And we walk in the building. I had prepared a particular thing I was going to do, and I realized, right, as I walked in the room, it was like the Lord said, do not talk about that. Talk about this. And it was all a reflection of what the Lord had been saying to me. And here's what you discover. When you're an overcomer, you have a profound purpose. And I want to tell you, your greatest purpose right now may be to be an effective parent. Your greatest purpose may be to be a dynamic witness. Your greatest purpose may be to be a student of His Word. Your purpose may be centered in just simply obeying what it is He has for your life. Whatever it is, do it to the very best of your ability and watch what God does with that. Now, as you think about that, you realize that Scripture speaks to it. And to be an overcomer, if you were defining it, it would have a simple definition: to conquer and prevail. In other words, whatever it is that came at you, you would conquer it and you would prevail over it. Wouldn't you love to think no matter what it is that comes your way, you'd have that kind of spirit? That you didn't let, by the way, this is not talking about your temperament. We all have different temperaments. This is talking about your spirit, how you look at life. That you would look at life as one who conquered what it was coming at you and you prevailed. Why is it important to see that? Because listen to what Jesus said, John 16, verse 33. The first verse I want us to focus on for a moment. Here's what He said. In this world, you will have tribulation. Now, by the way, is tribulation a little minor problem like a scratch on your finger? No. It is a deep wound of challenge that comes at you to test the fiber of who you are. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good courage. I've overcome the world. Imagine for a second, all of a sudden you look at life. Jesus said it. I'm going to have some headaches. Anybody had a headache the last week, the last month, the last year? Challenges come at us. In this world, you have tribulation, but I've overcome. And as a result, you get to experience who Jesus is. Then Romans 8 makes this very powerful statement that we are more than conquerors, that we come at things and overwhelmingly conquer everything we face through Him who loves us. When you love, think about those two verses. Let them be the framework for what we talk about today. Because inside of this framework, you get to see and understand the significance of what it means to realize that He loves us. He loves us and He's going to conquer. Through Him, we can conquer anything. But we also recognize that in this world, this tribulation that comes at us will not be there to steal our joy, but instead to direct us to what it is He has for us. As I think about different experiences that we had while we were in Romania, I realized how many people had to overcome circumstances, situations that they weren't by their choosing. It wasn't their choice to be placed in an orphanage. I want to tell you, you go with me and hug somebody who's always wondered who their mother was. You hold somebody in your arms, you realize that they'd love to hear a father say, you did well. You see, oftentimes we look at our circumstance and we say, you know, we've got it so bad, we have no idea. We have no idea how much difficulty and heartache people have all over the world. And so here we find ourselves looking inside of the heart of what it is Jesus wants us to learn and how He wants us to live overcoming lives. Had the privilege of being in a room with orphans singing Christmas carols. It's interesting, by the way, they celebrate Christmas three straight days at Christmas time, and they celebrate all the way up to the 15th of January. They just celebrate because Jesus is the story of their life. So they were singing these Christmas carols, and you could tell they're singing with all their heart, and finally asked the interpreter, said, what are those little girls singing? And they're singing this carol. Oh, that we would gather with our mother and father and praise Him together. I mean, you know, they're singing a song that's impossible in our eyes, but they sing it with the hope that rests in God. And what you and I need to see today as we look inside of God's Word is how important it is that we choose to overcome. And I want to encourage you to think about for a moment, what if your perspective just changed a few degrees? Maybe if you quit looking at things through a stained glass, instead all of a sudden you look through a clear glass, and you look at things not as, oh, this is so bad, but instead, Lord, this is an opportunity for You to prove Yourself strong. You say, well, you know, does it happen to people there? I'll tell you about a couple. They prayed for 10 years that God would give them a house. Everybody else looked through the lens. You could never afford a house if you wanted to. But God could give them one, and He did. I walked in the home with them. They said, we want you to be the first person to walk in this house and bless it because you're the only person who believed we'd ever have one. That house is worth 80,000 euros, $100,000 of our money. I walked in that house and I couldn't believe it. It was a lady in the fall who went to the attorney and said, when I die, give it all to them, everything that I have. And you see, oftentimes we forget how faithful God is in our lives. And that's why I want us to look at 1 John, because our theme for the year is to be an overcomer. And if you open your Bible to 1 John, turn, if you would, first of all, chapter 5, verse 4, and then we're going to go back to chapter 2 for just a moment. I want you to see what this verse says, because this is really the essence of what our story is going to be about as we look inside of God's Word. Listen to how John records this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, when you read that, you realize John was the writer in the Bible who used the word overcome more than anyone. The word overcome is referenced 28 times in Scripture, 24 times John referenced it, between here all the way through into Revelation chapter 21. And so it's obvious that to overcome was a very dynamic, powerful part of the story of what John saw. And it's interesting because John recognized that people had to overcome. And he uses that simple phrase, your faith. I want to ask you something. If I was banking on your faith, what kind of investment would I have? Would it be a profound investment, or would it be one that is limited to just believing him when things are good, just believing him when things are easy? You see, you and I need to recognize something, that what overcomes the issues of life is our willingness to trust God beyond our circumstances. And that's what faith does. It takes us beyond the menial things of life and says, Lord, I trust you to always be with you. Look on at chapter 2, back at chapter 2 just for a moment, because I want you to see verses 13 and 14. Notice what he says here, verses 13 and 14. And I want you to notice a couple really powerful words that he writes here. Verse 13, chapter 2. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. Notice what he has here. Father, young men, children. Verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong. Look at verse 14. You are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now, look at the reference point here. What does he say? He's inclusive of every age group. He identifies those who are older, those who are young, and those who are children. But he makes this statement at the very last part of verse 14. Because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Here's what he's saying. You have a strength about you that is not created by man, but created by God in you. And as he creates this strong faith in you, the word of God becomes the focus of your life. It becomes the essence of your story. And because God's word becomes the essence of your story, you let it be the basis of how you live out your life. Look on over at chapter 5. Let's look at this text, because what I want you to see today, I want you to see some things that stand out. So in chapter 2, he talks about the strength that comes from being able to be connected into God's word. When we get into chapter 5, he talks about how love and how love links us into life is so essential at the point of being an overcomer. Look, if you would, beginning in verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. When you look at this, there are three distinctive things that stand out in order for us to become overcomers. The first one is this. We must understand who he is. Look at verse 1 and notice how John writes. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you don't understand who Jesus is, you certainly can't understand how to overcome. And what he makes point by way of point and reference for each one of us is, as we understand who he is, we are born of God. And that born again experience changes and transforms the way we look at life. It should give us a joy in the midst of difficulty. It should give us a peace that does pass understanding. It should give us an understanding of how much God loves us. And if we understand who he is, something amazing begins to happen inside of our lives. That's why we get blessed to be able to share the truth of who he is with people that we encounter all over the world and make sure that we understand that he is the Christ. And that's what John makes it. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, in other words, that he's the answer to everything we will face. That's the first thing. The second thing that we need to see is we need to learn how to exhibit his love, our love for God and our love for others. Notice how he referenced it. Whoever, verse 1, second part, part B. Whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. When you see this, you immediately realize something, that how do people see an overcomer? They see an overcomer as someone who loves God with all their heart. Which, by the way, if you look at the Old Testament, here's what you discover. How do you find him? You only find him if you love him with all of your heart. And so what happens to John? He echoes that same thought, that if you're going to experience life the way God intended, you've got to encounter his love. Everybody wants to be loved. I wish you could have been at lunch on Thursday. We fed 120 orphans lunch. It was quite an interesting experience, by the way, just to watch them eat. We had 420 pieces of chicken schnitzel. We had french fries. We had potato. We had all the trimming. They ate every single bite of everything we had. One boy ate 7 pieces of schnitzel. I watched him eat 3. I said, are you hungry? He said, not now. And he ate another one. I said, and so they ate everything. Every piece of food was eaten. But the most precious moment was in the midst of that luncheon. And we had a chance to go around and encourage and bless and hug these kids. But in a precious moment, a little girl, she called me. She said, Gerald. They don't say Gerald. She said, Gerald. Gerald, I must talk to you. And I came over to her table, and she looked at me and said, Gerald, I love you. I'm going to tell you, I will hear her voice as I enter into heaven. Because what she was saying was, because you love him, I can love you. And I'm going to tell you, when I see that girl's eyes, since I've been home even, when I landed yesterday, I was thinking about, Gerald, I love you. You know, we take for granted that because we have so many people who do love us. We forget, what would it be like if you never felt love and all of a sudden you encountered it, you experienced it, and something happened inside of you. It changed your life. And you know, the truth of the matter is, without the hope of God and the love of God, where would we be? Where would you be if you never felt that love that comes from God? And so, first of all, we have to understand who he is. Secondly, we've got to make sure we love him and we love others. The third thing is we've got to be willing to obey his word. We've got to be willing to take his word and obey it. And I want to point out a part of this phrase, because he gets to the last part of the whole idea of us obeying his commandments. And he makes this statement, they are not burdensome. In other words, what is a burden? Something that drags you down. If you get burdened by something, you get overwhelmed by it. And here's what he said, God's word, his promises, they pick you up, they restore you, they strengthen you. How can a young boy in a prison quote scripture? Because it's not a burden to him. It's his only hope. It's the hope of his life. And listen carefully, how can we who find ourselves burdened down by circumstances not find God's word is the answer and the hope for our lives? And the reality is, we can very clearly if we're willing to yield ourselves to what it is that God has for each one of us. I'll tell you and illustrate it for you in an amazing way. A story I heard while I was there. There's a man there that's the second highest ranking politician in that part of the country at this point. We stopped at his home on the way back from Serbia. And we went into his home. He began to tell several stories. And one of the stories that was most amazing was the story that when he was a little boy, his father said to him, I know you want a bicycle. I'm going to give you a bicycle. And you get to ride it to school. But when you get to your grandmother's house, you have to leave your bicycle at your grandmother's house every single day and walk the rest of the way. Well, he obviously received the gift with excitement. I'll take that bicycle. But he had a little bit of trepidation about having to stop at his grandmother's house, because every single day, morning and night, his grandmother would read the Bible to him. And he told the story about when he was a little boy, he'd ride his bike fast, hoping she's still out in the garden and wouldn't be there to read the Bible so he'd slip on to school. But when he became a young adult, he faced all the temptations that every person does when they're young. but he could hear the words of his grandmother reading the Bible to him, and he could not walk away from the promises of what he had heard. All through his experience of going to school, do you know how many times his grandmother missed reading the Bible to him? Zero. He never found one day that she wasn't sitting in the room waiting on him and opened up her Bible and read it to him. This is during communism. He rose from a guy who rode a bike to become the second most powerful politician in that area. And he loves God with all of his heart. He said, God has put me in this place. And we need a few more of those in our country who love God with all their heart, who want the very best for this nation. It's exactly what we need. But here we see the love of God's word and how powerful it is. But then you ask yourself the question, how far does the overcomer theme carry? Does John carry it on through? And let's look if we could. So I want to take just 1 second, and I want to glimpse into Revelation. I'm not going to teach out of the text as much as just to have you look at it. Look at Revelation chapter 2. I want you to see how this theme is the essence of John's story. Because all of us have a story. And our story will either be that we overcome or we're overwhelmed. If we get overwhelmed, it means we do it through our eyes. If we get overcome, we do it through God's eyes. We ought to always do it through his eyes. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Look on over at verse 11, same chapter. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Look on, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. Look on over in verse 26. He who overcomes, chapter 2, verse 26, he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I have also received authority from my Father. Chapter 3, we get the church at Sardis, and look at verse 1. To he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And then he goes on and talks about what happened. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 4. But you have a few people in Sardis, watch this, who have not soiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Chapter 3, verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. Look at verse 21. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation chapter 21. Turn just a few chapters back. I want you not to miss this. And I'm hoping you'll get this in your heart and you'll be here every week to learn more about what this means. Revelation 21. Listen to verse 6 and 7. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. When you read this, you immediately realize something. What is the essence of John's focus that we overcome? I end with this story. On Thursday, as we're headed out, we had a little bit of free time to talk to some of the folks about communism. We started asking different stories. And one of the unique stories that was told was about those who would try to swim for freedom. They would try to swim across the Danube into Hungary. And the pastor who was telling their story said they would swim, and if they got on the other side, they would be taken to a refugee camp. And at the refugee camp, they would be given three options after they're there a few days. They were given the choice to go to the theater, to go play soccer, or to go to church. If they chose to go to the theater or to play soccer, the bus they were getting on was not a bus to the theater or to a soccer field. It was a bus to the border, which they would spend their life in prison. But those who chose to go to church were granted the freedom to come to the West and experience real freedom. You see, one group chose to overcome by going and seeking what it is that God had for them. Another just wanted to be entertained or exercise. Two missed the opportunity of a lifetime. The other group got to experience freedom, many of them living in our country today. And what I want you to see today is God did not design us just to go to theater, just to kick a soccer ball. God designed us to overcome. And how do we overcome? Our faith. And may your faith be powerful and strong as we live out what it is he has for our lives. And may you go out of this building going, you know what? Greater is he that's in me and he that's in the world. I will win. I claim his victory. I choose what it is he has for me. Make that choice and watch what happens as God uses you in a profound and amazing way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word that speaks to who we are. Thank you for your word that guides our lives. Thank you that we can be overcomers. Lord, no obstacle can get in the way of what it is you've done for us because you settled it all on the cross. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow us today to encounter, experience you the way you intended, that we would have an awareness of your presence that so magnifies our view that we see Jesus in the midst of whatever it is that we face. Bless us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. We give these moments to you in Christ's name. Amen.